Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at the Mall in Columbia with my co-host, Dennis Lane. On today's show, Dennis and I will talk about a local weatherman going national, firehouse politics, county bond ratings, and a man who likes to share just a little too much. And joining us today to give us a UK perspective on life in the States and all the quirks and idiosyncrasies that come along with living here in the good old US of A is Claire McGill. Claire is a fairly new resident to Howard County and a burgeoning blogger. But first, let's take a look at some of the local and not so local news. Dennis, what do you have to get us started?
Well, you know, I've told you before, I'm a bit of a weather geek. I have a little home weather station. I like it when big storms come.
You're kind of disappointed this year. We're getting these little dribs and drabs of an inch here and an inch there.
I know. I actually wouldn't have mind been in New England when that big one came through.
I must say, being from the UK, I still find it incredibly cold over here.
It is cold. It is, but and I don't like winter. But I like storms.
It gets colder
here than UK, but then it also warms up in the spring and summer more than the UK.
I'm just used to it being a bit gray and dreary.
Well, we have a local guy, Lewis Ucinelli. I'm not sure. I'm doing a horrible job with your name, Lewis, and I apologize. But he's a Stevens Forest resident in Village Oakland Mills, a longtime Columbia resident, been here since 1978. He was just named the national director, the director of the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
And you just can't contain your excitement,
I just think that's it's like Ian Kennedy. He's another local guy. Ian Kennedy's like excited. Maybe we could get together and have beers and talk snowstorms. But as it turns out, it turns out this is what Lewis does. He's in this article by Luke Lavoie. Lavoie in Explore Howard. He says he takes kids in his neighborhood for guides them during snowstorms, talks about snowstorms. He's into it. He shares his storm knowledge with the kids in the neighborhood. I think it's very cool.
I think you ought to try to get him on the show.
I think we ought to try to get him on the show. Yeah.
But do people here like to talk about the weather as much as we do in England? Because it seems to be a hot topic of conversation. It's almost like a line to pull someone.
I think...
My dad lives down in Florida, and I mentioned that my parents are from Europe, as am I. My dad will call me, and he's like, you know, in his good European accent, "Hello, Paul. How's the weather?"
Yeah.
"Dad, I'm good, too. Thanks for asking." You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, I get emails from my parents saying, "Oh, we see that you have a storm, or there'll be snow on Friday night." And I have no idea that's
really? Well, that way you don't have to look it up. Yeah. If your parents called you from England, told you you're going to go to the storm.
Get your private little meteorologists.
When Hurricane Sandy happened, I was phoning back to the BBC back in the UK to give them updates at sort of 1 o'clock in the morning from Howard County.
Which kind of fizzled out here.
We didn't get much. But for me,
that was the Halloween storm.
Yeah,
Frankenstorm.
Frankenstorm. And we had been in Florida, and then we flew back, and it was all very exciting for us.
So, yeah.
You know, but that's all people wanted to know. The weather.
Yeah, well, anyway, we got a local weather hero right here at our...
Well, that's pretty cool. That's
pretty cool.
Well, from exciting weather to AAA bond ratings. So bond ratings have sort of been in the news the last couple of years because there have been downgrades, and, you know, so it's been in the news more so than I think it previously has. And there's some talk right now of some of the AAA bond rating agencies, including Standard & Poor's, downgrading the federal government's bond rating in large part because of what's going on in the federal...
Sequestration
and the March 1st deadline and all that stuff. So, and we just keep postponing these deadlines on and on. So there's some talk of downgrading us to AA, and they're just going to lump Howard County in with the feds.
Yeah,
and
as it said in the paper, Blair Ames wrote that if the federal government is downgraded due to sequestration, government spending cuts due to take effect on March 1st, Moody's would also downgrade the county's bond rating.
Look, Ray Wax, who's our head of our... finance here in Howard County, he was quoted as saying it seems arbitrary and non-indicative of what an agency should be doing. And I kind of agree. You know, if we're going to suffer as a county because of the federal downgrade, then let's evaluate Howard County and take a look at whether it legitimately should be downgraded as well. But let's not lump us in just because we happen to have a lot of federal workers here in the community.
And I think I was telling you that I saw Erskine Bowles last night, who was co-chair of the National Deficit Reduction Group Commission. And, you know, he pointed out, first of all, he says that, you know, this is important. It's going to affect everybody's lives. And this is a good example of it, because if the government doesn't get its fiscal house in order, our bond rating gets lowered. That puts a direct hit to the county budget. You know, could mean increased taxes here. You know, it's serious. And as he pointed out, he says the federal government hasn't had a budget in 6 years.
If taxes go up, we may need to start eating at like McDonald's instead of Nordstrom's Friday before the show. And that could be a real problem.
I'm not happy with that. They better fix it.
You may
soon.
Have to skip your coffee.
I know. No.
I don't know if we can do advertising, but Nordstrom's coffee is the best.
The bomb, right? I think you just did. So kudos to Nordstrom's coffee. Yeah,
okay. That would be a red chai latte, please.
So on the business front, we did have a local celebrity, if you will, Julie Lenzer-Kirk, who actually works with the Howard County Economic Development Authority, and she heads up the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship and Startup Maryland, and she was actually invited to go to the White House and present this last week.
Yeah,
and talk about entrepreneurship and small business loans. And she was, I think, one of 30 people that actually presented to the Obama administration. So wow. Julie's actually a great woman and a dynamo, a huge advocate for entrepreneurship here in the community. And good for us to have somebody represented there.
And that the Maryland Center for Entrepreneurship, that was only formed like a year and a half ago or something like that. So it's fairly new here in Howard.
Yeah, and they're the ones that did the bus tour, right. You know, the all around Maryland trying to
start up Maryland.
Yeah, exactly. So good for Julie. I'm happy for her.
Yeah, good for her. Well, it was a big, you know, it was a big week for downtown Columbia. We were kind of laughing before the show with Claire about downtown.
Yawn.
But this is going to be a big year in Columbia. I mean, there'll be a lot of new projects getting started. And one just broke ground this week, the new Metropolitan Apartment Complex right here by the mall. $100 million, 368-unit something.
380-unit apartments.
380-unit. And I know we've been talking about it for a while, but, you know, we've been talking about this plan for the new Columbia downtown for so long. Now it's taking physical form. We talked in the last show about the wall breaking for the expansion here at the mall. And now you got the apartment starting. And actually, I heard the Clydes has actually started their renovation
work.
So there.
You know what fascinated me about the Metropolitan? The apartments are going to rent for between $1,500 and $2,800 a month.
Right. That's a lot of money.
You know, I always thought of this area as fairly good place to live and fairly inexpensive in the grand scheme of things when you compare it to Philadelphia, New York, L.A., Chicago. I'm not sure we're all that inexpensive anymore.
I don't think so. I mean, those are expensive apartments.
How did you find coming here? Did you find it expensive?
Yeah, I was quite surprised, actually.
This is Claire, everyone, by the way.
Hello. Because you couldn't tell her voice as opposed to Paul's. Yeah, thanks, Paul, for clarifying that.
We were under the impression that kind of eating out and that kind of thing was generally that in America you did that more and that it's because it was cheaper. Well, it's not cheaper. And, you know, there's still... You know, it still makes sense to buy stuff and make it at home. But, yeah, I think it has proven expensive. I mean, even just simply filling up the car, and I'm like, you know...
Although our gasoline's cheaper.
Yeah, gasoline's three times as expensive.
But big machines eat the gas.
Well, we're Americans. We're like, we like big things in America.
Yeah.
So what kind of so what kind of cars did you get?
Got a RAV4. And my husband has something which we call the Bull, which is just a clapped out banger, as we say.
It's a what?
It functions, but it rattles and it's a little bit rusty. It's a bit like him.
Like a clunker.
Yes.
Okay. Did you say a bit like him?
A bit like him.
Just making sure I heard that right.
Yeah.
there's other things happening in downtown too.
Yeah.
Last night, big news for us, for a lot of us anyway, is we have this park in downtown that surrounds our outdoor theater, which Merriweather. Have you been to Merriweather yet?
Haven't been to it yet.
Merriweather rocks. It's a great place. I was Paul's guest last year for the Zac Brown Band, and that was a lot
time.
Of fun. Merriweather is surrounded by a park that is controlled by the Columbia Association, and that really, aside from passing through it on your way to Merriweather concerts or once a year for the Wine in the Woods event.
That's in the diary already.
Have you been to the Wine in the Woods?
Not yet, definitely going.
You'll enjoy Wine in the Woods.
Not the diary where you write down what you've done, but the diary is the calendar going forward.
Yeah, it's not my blog. Okay.
Anyway, other than that, people don't use the woods. It's just kind of there. Well, they've come up with this plan called the Inner Arbor Plan, and it was a little contentious because they had one plan that was kind of the design advisory panel that must approve everything that happens in downtown. one I was underwhelmed with, and they came back with a really fantastic plan called the Inner Arbor. And last night, the CA board voted to approve it by an 8-2 vote. And it's moving forward. I think that's great. And even better news is our next show on March 1st, we're going to have Michael McCall, who's the planner, designer who who created the overall scheme, I guess, for the Inner Arbor, will join us. So we'll have more on that next show. I don't want to go on too much. And before I leave Columbia Association, one more thing Columbia Association should be kudos for. Yeah, the dredging is finished. We've been dredging our lakes in this town for like 5 years.
Yeah, I think I've been getting emails ever since we knew we were coming to live here from Columbia Association, and every other one has been about what's being dredged.
And the particular one had some problems was Lake Elkhorn, which is also the biggest lake. And in the middle of the first attempt, the contractor walked off the job in a dispute with CA, and so they had to, you know, kind of jump back and get some. So that one really dragged on. I think it's been 3 years or so they've been dredging.
Look, choosing to work for CA or being a contractor of CA is that's not an easy thing to do.
You know, I count me as one of those who have been critical of CA over the years, but I got to tell you, I've got a new feeling there. They seem to be getting
turning a corner,
and I give a lot of credit to Phil Nelson. I think he's turned that ship around.
Something that when I first arrived in Howard County, someone referred to the Columbia Association as the Columbia Mafia, which kind of had me investigating them more. But, you know, I use a lot of their facilities, and I'm pretty pro, I think, as a public service.
I think they're doing a good job.
They are. Yeah. And they do provide great amenities in this community.
Yeah.
They really do. So we talked last time about a gentleman that...
Gentleman?
Yes, I use the word loosely. Gentleman that was walking around the mall behind a group of young girls exposing himself. I know. Can you believe it?
I read about that.
Stephen Michael Lehrer. So what's that?
What time did that happen?
I was during the day.
Yeah, during the day.
I was here that day.
You
did it to me.
You sound hurt.
Okay, that's novel.
Anyway, sort of like the one you described in the Ravens outfit.
Yes.
Yeah, you were like,
I don't
know about that.
Yeah, Poe.
Mm.
Anyway, so he tried it a second time since he got away with it the first time, except, you know what, this time he got busted. So he got arrested last night, Stephen Michael Lehrer, 200 block of Dunwood Terrace, in case you want to pay him a visit.
From Burtonsville. He's a Burtonsville
down
guy.
Down in Burtonsville, 49-year-old guy, and he's out on $7,500 bond.
Well, you know, it's funny. You said indecent exposure. Well, we made fun of it the first time we heard about it because the police put a picture in the paper. And you couldn't tell. Talk about indecent exposure. It was a bad exposure. It was a picture of a guy, but you couldn't tell what he looked like. The second time, the picture was better. They caught him, I think, going into the Sears door or something. But, you know, anybody should be out of their mind. Everything's on camera now. We're probably on camera as we sit here in the mall doing the show. So, crazy. On a more positive note, you know, I don't know whether you know, Claire, but we have here in Howard County one of the few institutes of higher learning for acupuncture and holistic health.
I did not know that.
Well, the Thai Sophia Institute, which has been, they've really been here. They've been here for years. I'm sure it's in this article somewhere when they were established. But they had big news this week. They've been accredited by Maryland to be a university. So the Thai Sophia Institute will no longer be called a Thai Sophia. They'll be called the Maryland University of Integrative Health.
Oh, I like that.
And it's where you can go. They'll be granting doctorates in acupuncture and other healing techniques.
So for all of those people out there that doubted that was a legitimate form of study, you know what? It's been accredited, and it's got some value going forward.
And I know there's been a lot of people that have gone there and gotten their acupuncture training there, and yeah, good for them. A local business does well and is growing. They're going to triple their student body. And
now, do you partake in acupuncture? And
I've had it done.
Do you have you?
Yeah.
Do you work?
You know. That's a good question.
I mean, by looking at you, I wouldn't guess it.
I enjoyed it. But, you know, you sit in a darkened room.
Oh, wait a minute.
So you have a needle stuck in one place to help another place?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
But you don't really feel the needle. So it's like,
you're skeptic?
Yeah. Or skeptic. Yeah.
But here's the thing. So I went a couple of times during lunch work, and I take off work, and I go to this house, and I go into this little treatment room, and they had their basement finished out as kind of their acupuncture clinic, and they put you in a darkened room, you know, where the lights are very low. They play what I call whale music, you know. And then you lay down on the thing. They stick needles in you. She, this woman talked very soft voices. You know, and you lay there for like a half an hour. So I think I fell asleep a couple of times. So, yeah, I don't go anymore. It was interesting.
Okay. Then there's that.
Maybe I should go more. I mean, chill out.
So there's this big discussion that's brewing about schools and the start times of schools.
Pick it up early.
You know what? I'm actually fascinated by this topic because I think it has such far-reaching implications in so many different ways. You know, the little kids, I mean, I remember when my kids were young and, you know, they'd be up at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, but then they wouldn't go to school until 9 or 9:30. The teenagers that want to sleep have to get up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock to make the bus.
Yeah.
And they're exhausted.
No, let me tell you, I get up at 5, get my kid up at 5:30. You know, she's in high school. I mean, it's...
What time does she start school?
Well, the bus comes at 6:36.
7:20 is the start time of school.
Yeah, in our neighborhood, the bus comes at 6:36.
Yeah. So, physiologically, and I read an article about this, physiologically, teenagers, when they're going through puberty...
They need to sleep.
Well, they need to sleep, but they're also up later. And they can't help that. So they're going to bed at 11, 12 o'clock, and they're getting up at 5, and they're not getting their sleep. So I'm going to be a cynic about this. I think this is all about sports.
Yeah,
and I think it's all about giving the kids an opportunity to partake in sport activities in the afternoon, which I think is great. I think it has its role. But I think, as I've said before, I think sports has taken on a life of its own in this country beyond what it should.
And I think I disagree with it a little bit, because I think some of it is in some families, the older kid has to take care of the younger kids. So they get home first, and then they're there when the younger kids get home from elementary school. And they can take care of it. Other kids have jobs that they have to get to. I mean, yeah. So I think sports is a large part of it. I wouldn't put it past that. I mean, we had Nikki Vernick Highsmith here last week from the Horizon Foundation, and they're doing this whole sugary drinks things with the schools. But you know what? They haven't gotten them out of the high schools yet, because that's sports, because these sugary drink companies support the sports. And sports, I only say that to make the point that sports have an undue or an unbalanced influence, I think, on school, particularly high school policy.
Did you hear, speaking of, and I think I'm going to get this story right, University of Maryland gave, not iPads, but other tablets to every single kid that plays a sport at the University of Maryland to help them, because they're at a disadvantage because they don't have enough much time for their studies, so this is intended to help them.
Get out.
We are rewarding kids that are playing sports disproportionately to the kids that are going to send the next person into outer space.
Now, I don't want to bash sports. Sports are good.
I mean, I don't either. Yeah, my kids both play it. Right. I think it's great. It keeps them busy, keeps them off the streets, keeps them out of trouble.
But that's a little over the top.
It's a bit over the top.
I think the start time, I think that's crazy. I had no idea that it was like 7:20. I mean, a lot of people don't start work then.
Yeah.
You know, that's
it's
nuts.
Crazy.
And I have noticed that kids here stay out that bit later as well. You know, I don't know. I don't think that's going to help them or give them necessarily discipline to get up early and go out to work. On a selfish note, I like to have my son in school by 8:15.
Because it frees up your day,
Because it gives me the morning to sort stuff out. But
well,
he'll be going to school later when next year in kindergarten.
Yeah, well, yeah, kindergarten. Some said, as late as 9:25. Yeah.
So, we were talking before the show about how kids stay up so much later here in the States than they do in the UK.
Yeah.
I used to love my 2 hours between the time that my kids went to bed and the time that I needed to go to bed. You know, it's downtime.
It was
quite I don't have
time.
That
that's
anymore.
That's grown-up time.
Yeah.
That's time.
I went to bed before my 12-year-old daughter
then
last
night.
Then
you get to my age, that's the time you go to bed. I'm done.
Just try acupuncture.
Anyway, they're going to study this, and then, it won't be until the 2015-2016 school year before any changes are likely to be initiated. So, anyway, out in Lisbon, you know, we've talked before about the Lisbon Volunteer Fire Department and their... They had a kind of a Donnybrook with the fire chief and disagreement on the fire tax recently. That was a big issue, probably even before you got here. And now they feel like they're being punished for taking a political position contrary to the fire chief. And you know, in Howard County, we kind of have this East County, West County tension sometimes. You know, the rural West versus the more urbanized Columbia. And I think it's manifested itself. That's why I like this story a little bit. Apparently, the fire chief in his new budget, he's proposing to eliminate something called a contingency position for firehouses. And this is a position that's somewhere in between a volunteer and a career firefighter. It's they're paid, but they don't have full benefits of a career firefighter. And they're really mostly used in these rural firehouses to kind of even out the staffing so they can be staffed 24/7. And Chief Goddard is going to eliminate that. And, of course, the folks out west, or particularly this one firefighter, Kenny Livesay, a volunteer firefighter in Lisbon, says it's setting us up for failure. I think they want to – there seems to be a feeling that they want to replace them all with career people out there. So it's be interesting to see how that shakes out. But.
You know, for all those that, you know, we're all on a first-name basis in Howard County. We all know each other. Everyone knows the elected officials or whatever. But don't have any misgivings. Politics can be just as dirty on the local level as it can be on the state and federal level. And I don't know about this topic as much as you do, Dennis, but, it is real and it is out there, and this kind of stuff does happen.
It is. You know, and Howard County, originally, they were all volunteer fire companies, and as it's gotten, the county's population has grown, we've added more career firefighters. We've actually had your friend, head of the Firefighters Union, on the show.
Richie Rule?
Yeah, Richie Rule. So, but he was, it's interesting, Richie Rule, the head of the Firefighters Union, was unavailable for comment for the article.
Wow, Rich, where were you, buddy?
Rich is always available. We should call him right now.
Rich, what's up there in Lisbon? What's going on, man?
You always have to wonder when someone's not available for comment.
Yeah, exactly. That's when
it's a PR fail.
Speaking of which,
or his attorney tells him,
don't
talk
anything.
To the press.
Right. Well, you've already sort of met Claire because she did exactly what we asked her to do, which was jump in with our news stories.
Yeah,
but let me officially introduce her, Claire McGill. She is a
desperate UK housewife.
Yes. Well, that's what she calls her blog. I wouldn't quite characterize her that way from my brief meeting with her already.
I really want to go there. What's desperate?
No, you know desperate housewives.
Wait a minute.
It's based on that.
Okay, so
go ahead, Bob.
Claire's our guest. You did, but you're good at it. No worries. Anyway, Claire comes to us from the UK.
Yes.
Has a background in PR and marketing, having worked for a university system. And in that position, she was sort of stuck a little bit in a box in what she could say and couldn't say, sort of the corporate world.
Oh, yes.
And came to the States and decided to start a blog, really addressing her experience of having moved to the States, the differences between the States and the UK.
Cultural observations.
Observations. And now you can ask her why she named her blog what she did.
Okay, let's go with that.
It's not that I am desperate.
You don't look desperate. That's why I'm...
It's why more, it's more the, it's just a play on the Desperate Housewives theme. So, but as I was saying, some of the search terms that that bring people to my blog, some of them...
They're looking
crazy.
For that desperate.
They're looking for desperate, and they're looking mostly for housewives who don't wear much clothing. So
or any at all.
Yes. So my blog has kind of... been me looking at America through my kind of very British eyes and enjoying the experience and kind of sometimes being gobsmacked by experiences.
Gobsmacked.
That's a good word,
isn't
it?
I like gobsmacked.
And I know I'm very much enjoying the experience, and part of it is being able to write about it and share it.
Now, born and raised in England?
Yes, yes.
Ever lived anywhere else?
Yeah, my father was in the forces, so okay. I lived abroad in Gibraltar, a lovely little sunny rock off Spain.
Much warmer.
Much warmer climate. Right.
Here they call that a military brat, right?
Yes,
she was
yes.
in the forces, which most people here think Star Wars.
I was definitely the latter.
The galactic forces.
May the force be with you.
Thank you. It was. They were.
Well, now, I know that you can track readership of blogs.
Yeah.
Are you getting a lot of readers from the UK?
Yeah, I am. And it's just about kind of promoting it a bit more, but people are beginning to catch on.
How long have you been writing it?
I've been writing it ever since October. Where are we? 2011.
Okay.
But very, very briefly, first of all, about kind of how I was excited about the fact we were going to come out to the States to live. And then from March last year, March 2012, when we did our first visit, our kind of recce trip, kind of all the observations. And one observation that I remember just thinking, I go walking into a bathroom, an American, like, public toilet.
Yes, yes.
Which I now call bathrooms, not toilets.
Or loo.
Or water closet.
Or loo, yes.
WC.
And, yes. And there being these gaps down down the toilet doors and things, and you can just see in. And I'm thinking, that's kind of weird. And then...
You mean they're hermetically sealed in the UK?
You just don't see anything. You can't see the feet or the arm or the... You know, what...
Well, that's how our politicians can communicate to each other through the bathroom.
Oh, stop.
But also, one of the funniest things is everything you see in the movies and then you see it for real, like yellow fire hydrants. You kind of... They're very iconic of America.
What color are they in the UK?
Well, I don't think we have them.
They have a bit of a problem with fires.
Some catch some fires. Let it burn down.
Also, I didn't know you couldn't park in front of a fire hydrant.
You found that one out the hard way.
Yeah, we got a ticket. Yeah, so now we know.
It's not done.
Yeah, but yeah, so many things.
So what was your biggest, oh my God, this is so different than I expected it to be, your aha moment?
Well, we came out in August 2012, mid-August. So we came out at a great time of year. It was very hot. We had just the suitcases that we came with because everything else got shipped over. And I think I was just so impressed by the weather.
It's hot in August, though.
Yeah, it was. I like hot. I don't do snow.
Yeah.
And so this light smattering we've had recently has just been enough for me.
Did Harry like snow?
He loves snow, so yeah. I like watching him out from the window, with a cup of tea.
Stay warm, honey.
Yeah.
King, excuse me. Stay warm, little king.
Yes. Well, Harry also says, why do people in America call me Harry? Because my name is Harry.
Well, yeah.
That's interesting for him. He's picking up on kind of the vowels and the intonation already. But I think the biggest thing was how everybody drives everywhere. Nobody walks.
No, that's
probably, not here. You know, this is like, if you do see someone walking, and I think I blogged about this the other day, I think, oh my God, have they been mugged? Or
are you okay?
The house on fire? Or you pull over and stop?
Say, do you need a ride?
Yeah. Will I then become a statistic? You know, it's just
God
like,
forbid.
But you know, the guy's probably just walking to work. He just,
true.
So Americans don't have, I think there are things that are very appealing about this country to people that live outside of the States. But then there are also things that I think are a little bit negative about us, that people from other countries, whether it's Europe or anywhere else, there's this perception about the U.S. Were all those things true in your mind, or...
I think I'm quite open-minded, and I think I'm quite liberal. So I was just I wanted to come with an open mind. But there's still things that, you know, when I went down to the South, I was obviously aware of kind of the politics and the history down there. But here,
the South. But you went to Florida. That's not really.
Oh no, South. I've been down down Virginia and down further as well.
The cradle of the South.
Yeah, yes. I want to go deep South.
So
though,
the Confederacy.
Yes, I want to go see that. But here, I think there is an image, I guess, of Americans of being all about America, and this kind of that what here happens in America and everything outside is kind of on the periphery, and you might just find out about
inwardly
it.
Inwardly focused.
Yeah, I mean, even this kind of meteor thing that happened in Russia.
Yeah, that was
fascinating. Know, yeah, I mean, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
But,
well, I guess so.
I mean,
well, you don't live there.
I mean,
it's a backyard. It's probably not so great.
Probably not great for that factory.
Exactly.
Yeah, and those people. But, I mean, God, that's like amazing.
Yeah, British blogger thinks the meteor was great.
Yeah.
I can see the headline now.
I don't know. My first reaction was, you know, if I'm in Russia, I go, oh, this is it. This is the nuclear attack. You know.
But what must those people have been thinking? Oh, my word.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Wow.
It's,
I mean,
the
it's
end
okay,
of the
I'll rephrase
world,
that. It's a fascinating scientific occurrence that happened.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, great, a meteor. But,
but you don't think Americans really focus on that?
I don't think... okay, so we went on to the Guardian UK site to have a look, and it was like on the front page website.
Yeah.
On ABC News, eighth story down.
Well, they probably had this first, just, you know, talk about the Cardassians and what's going on with them.
Exactly, yeah. She's still pregnant.
And local still. News, and local news is even worse because you get the rundown of everyone who was murdered. You get the rundown of all the car accidents and all the house fires.
Yeah.
Then you get to the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you find out there's a war.
Oh, by the way.
There's a war in Syria.
There's a nuclear attack in North Korea. You know, it's...
But on the other hand, what I will say is there's great patriotism. You know, that is very important. And I was due to go back to the UK end of June, beginning of July. I was like, no, I can't miss 4th of July.
I was going to say, I was going to get to that. And
this is one of the reasons I'm here, but to see this
stuff.
It's
a funny day for a Brit to be in America.
I want to experience it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just want to kind of, yeah, obviously. We're, let's not talk about that bit, shall we?
We're free of your oppression. I mean.
So you don't like the snow.
Yes, I don't like snow.
What did you think about the hysteria associated with an inch of snow? The school closings and the drivers.
That really wound me up, actually, because we had the snow the day when schools were 2 hours delayed.
Yes.
And that, you know, there was snow, and then there was a little bit of rain.
A 2 hour
and
delay.
And 2 hour delay, which meant I teach Zumba, and so...
2 hour delay.
2 hour delay, no class, no students. For those people who don't have kids.
Messed them up.
Why is there a 2 hour delay? And I thought that was overreaction.
Yeah.
Big time.
And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, we had the snow in the morning.
It was nothing.
No, I'm talking just, Thursday
morning. Yesterday
morning, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, the roads were dangerous. I was out driving. They were slippery. Mm. No 2 hour delay.
No. Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't know. Does that happen? Because this snow we've had is nothing in comparison to what you've had previously.
Yeah, we've had some pretty big storms. It's been
pretty
light.
There's a lot of hysteria around weather. Mm. I mean, and we get a little bit of snow. Everyone shuts down. The drivers are miserable. Yeah,
it's not universally. I went to college in Cleveland, and there snow is nothing. I mean, you know, they would never cancel school for what we do around here. You know, they just push it out of the way and move on.
What is it? Is it a safety measure for who? For whom?
Well, I think it is. We're horrible drivers in snow, and even rain. I think Maryland drivers in rain are awful. And I think it's for the safety of the kids and, you know, school bus drivers. Mm.
And lawsuits and, lawyers.
Damn lawyers.
On driving, I found driving quite a unique experience.
We drive on the wrong side.
Yeah, you drive on the wrong side.
That aside.
And who invented that rule?
Yeah. We were thinking the same thing about you guys.
Who had cars first? Yeah. I don't know. But... there seem to be sort of no rules within the kind of what's the fast lane and the inside lane and the outside lane.
Oh, the rules are there.
They're just not adhered to.
Correct.
Right.
Well, there's some people don't think they apply to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, there's some people also that think that if the speed limit is 55 and they're driving 60 in the fast lane, that's okay because they're driving fast.
Right. They're over the speed limit.
It's not relative to other cars. It's relative to what they see as the speed limit.
Okay.
But see, 60 in the fast lane is like you might as well be riding a tricycle because it's you're holding nothing. Everybody else up.
But it's okay for someone else to undertake in the inside lane.
Well, it's not, again, but they do it.
But they do it.
Because after beeping the horn and flashing your high beams, they don't move.
I think there's a universal truth amongst Americans that whatever you're doing, you or any other, is more important than what everybody else is doing.
Yes.
You know what fascinates me, too, about, and I observed this during my stay in Europe, the beeping of the horn. When you beep your horn in the States, you might as well be flipping someone the bird.
Yeah, it's a pretty aggressive move.
It's an affront.
Yes.
It's an assault.
Yes. Mm.
In Europe, it's, excuse me, I'm trying to get your attention.
Yeah. 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 Hi.
Hey, watch out. I'm about to, watch your foot. I'm about
excuse
to, you know, right.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And I think also what I was told, and I bear in mind every time, is don't get annoyed with someone in a car because they might just have a gun. Another phenomenon which, for me, is...
We're going to go there.
Crazy.
So let's talk about guns. So your law enforcement has a worldwide reputation of not carrying guns. Now, that has changed over the last few years, hasn't it?
They still don't carry guns. There are certain, like, special branch. I think this is right. Sorry, David Cameron, if it's not. I think they carry weapons, and they carry tasers now. So some guy, I don't know if you saw, was outside Buckingham Palace trying to slit his throat the other day during changing of the guards, and they just came up and they tasered
him. No, I didn't see that. That didn't happen in the States.
Yeah, that didn't.
I'll send you the link. So what I'm doing at the moment, which I'm hoping is tweeting some of the stories that are happening in Britain for some of my American Twitter followers, so that they begin to kind of see some of the stories that I am also interested in. So guns, yes. There are some guys, special branch type, the hot ones who carry guns.
But how is what's gun violence like in UK? Is it
low? Very low. Knife crime's higher, depending on whether you're in a city. But it's low on the radar. But
the reason why we all have guns is because of you. It's because we had to.
We had to protect ourselves.
Yeah, we had to protect ourselves against the British.
Yeah.
The right
to bear arms. Years ago.
Well, we don't forget these things. It's like the Irish.
So gun control is big right now, and everyone's responding to recent shootings. And do you believe that these shootings are a result of having too many guns on the streets?
My husband and I do talk about things like this.
Does he feel the same way?
Well, we have debates and discussions about certain issues. And
so you still speak. That's good.
Well, it's when occasionally. And I think that the key thing that we kind of determined in the McGill household was that it's kind of a multitude of things come together. It's the fact that people do have the right to bear arms. It's the fact that the police also have weapons. So there's this kind of trade-off almost with the police and with the latest...
Kind of to keep pace.
Arms race.
There's also violence that is portrayed on the screen. I mean, obviously, we get that in the UK as well, but is there a culture? Is there a kind of... a state of mind that people get into that, when you have a gun, it's like, when you're in your car and you think you're a bit invincible when you put your foot down and everybody else get out of the way. How does it actually feel to carry a gun, to have a gun and think, I could do this now. So what kind of mental state are people in when they have those guns? And I'm not sure what conclusion we came to, but I feel uncomfortable about guns, with guns. Harry was given a gun for Christmas, and just seeing him run around the house, kind of like, bang, bang, bang.
A toy gun, I'm hoping.
Obviously. It was just
semi-automatic.
He was given an assault rifle. Welcome to America.
It's under our bed now. Couldn't have it in his room. But a toy gun, a plastic thing. And
that's not not usually done in the UK?
It is. But it just so happened that this was like 2 days after the Sandy Hook shooting that he opened it just before Christmas. And it was just like, just felt kind of weird.
Did your husband feel the same way about that?
Kind of, but I think there's a male perception about guns which may be different from the female perception. I don't know. My son was wearing my bikini today. I'm sure he'll have a different perception about him wearing that.
He's gonna love
I'm not
that
bothered.
You, yeah,
about
you took
that.
A picture of that.
Yeah, and created a permanent record of that publicly.
Yes, I have. He's gonna kill me when he's a teenager. He's gonna be very cross.
Or maybe like it. Who knows?
Yeah, I think he's being liberal.
Well, he gave out 14 Valentines.
Valentine's Day.
Let's talk about that.
Is Valentine's Day celebrated in the UK?
It is, but it's usually...
Or they have Sweetest Day.
It's Valentine's Day, and, you can buy a meal for two from the local supermarket, the store, for maybe £20, which is about $30-$35, and you get a bottle of wine and a curry for two and a dessert, and that's what people do, and maybe they'll go out for a meal.
A dinner special.
And you do a card. Yeah. But here... Oh my, it is huge with balloons and chocolates and flowers and cards and the expectation is there. And I having
did
to
Did you get
write,
flowers?
Yes, I did get flowers.
Did you
and
like
I got
it?
A singing balloon chosen by my son.
And did you like this?
Do you know what? It was lovely because I've not seen that, you know, before. So it was different to see. But it's just kind of a bit overwhelming. And the whole thing where Harry comes out of school with sweets, chocolates, cards from the other 15 kids in his class, and I have had to, you know, 15 envelopes of take them into school. And I'm like, but, you know, he's never going to understand that if this continues, that he can, you know, he might have his heart set on someone, and the anonymity of giving that card and declaring your love, and likewise getting a card, and that mystery around Valentine's.
And of course, what Claire is referring to is the fact that in elementary school, you cannot give
just
a single Valentine to someone who you find near and dear or you fancy.
But we should point out that's not the way we grew up.
That's a relatively new thing.
That wasn't true when we were in school.
But it's indicative of this whole political correctness movement that we're just
wrong. Yeah. I don't think five's too young to have your heart broken either. I think, you know, if he didn't get a card from...
He'll get over it.
From Little Chase, then, yeah.
He'll get over it.
Well, look, not to get too philosophical, but I think we all learn and we're defined more by our negative experiences than our positive. They define who we are. And if we create the safety net... It does build character.
Yeah.
And if the safety net is present for our children and they can never get their heart broken at five... You know, how are they going to deal with it when they're 17?
Yeah, so important. Yeah. So anyway, they look ever so pretty, the 15 cards from his friends, but I shall be adding to the recycling bundle shortly.
Yes.
So sports.
Yes.
So you had your first experience with Super Bowl.
Yes.
You picked a great year for that.
To be in Baltimore.
And that's probably made a huge difference to my overall experience of it because...
Because the football season went into February. For most people, it's over at the end of...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the regular season ends at the end of December now.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not sure I quite understand the rules still, but that doesn't really matter because it's all about kind of the joy of the experience and kind of... Yeah, I liked it, and I like to see that real people getting behind it and people drinking, and it was a bit more kind of like, it felt a bit more that kind of, you know, when people just stop being in control a little bit and stop thinking and just go, yeah, this is...
Because everything is a little too structured.
It is very structured. It's very precise,
defined. Well, it also binds us together. You know, it's the kind of thing where I noticed that if I was wearing any kind of Ravens gear and walked into a grocery store, complete strangers would come and go, yeah, go Ravens. You know, and that's kind of neat. It builds community.
It does. And I was wearing a purple top just because I was going to Zumba and people were like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah!
Wow.
Purple is a very popular color.
Now, do people in the UK get behind sports?
Oh,
soccer teams.
Soccer.
European football.
Yeah.
In the same way, with the same rage and craze?
Yes.
Manchester United,
Liverpool. So those teams, and if there's
But there's been a bit of controversy now about fixing of soccer games.
Oh, has there?
No.
This I haven't read. I must block.
You really
ought
to pay more attention to things outside of the US.
it's taking me over.
One for us. No, I did. I heard somewhere there had been a big scandal going on about fixing of, I think, mostly World Cup games.
Go get some acupuncture. You're making this up.
I'll Google that and let you know. I think the problem is that in the past, British football, European football, has suffered from that sort of football violence, fans kind of.
Yeah. And a little rowdy.
Yes.
So American fans are probably kind of calm in comparison.
Yeah, although I hear Baltimore was quite riotous in its own right. In a more positive than negative way after the Ravens won. But I mean, the clash of football fans, teams against teams, is what kind of defined, particularly in the 80s, British football in a very negative way. And I think it's made a big recovery, possibly because of someone like David Beckham, who's, you know, a bit more up front, the golden boy of football, and, you know, and sort of it became about the football again rather than, you know, as well as the kind of PR.
He made one of those Spice Girls, right?
He did. Well done.
Dennis only knows that because he had a crush on her. So, you know.
Which one? Go on.
Posh.
A very good one. Name the other four. Go on.
Oh, God. Allspice, cinnamon.
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Cayenne.
You just started a new group there. A super group.
Perhaps.
So what's next for you?
I'm going to continue blogging. I've been writing some articles for a local magazine called Her Mind, and I'm also hosting a blog party.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So I get to meet all the...
That's actually a uniquely Howard County experience.
Is it?
Yeah, there's not a lot of communities that actually where the bloggers get together, and Jesse has really kind of pulled that together as a way for local bloggers to connect. And it's
you read other people's blogs, and you kind of, again, make assumptions about them and how they are through what they write, and then you get to meet them at this blog party, and it's a new community.
You've met Marshmallow Man.
I've met Marshmallow Man, Bill, and I just, I really want to kind of build a community. I'm a Brit out here, and you can get totally absorbed into the British community and not go outside of that, because there is a Brit community here. But that's not why I came here. I want to discover, I'm on a bit of a Bill Bryson kind of discovery. He's just such a great writer.
Good writer.
I'm not sure he'd approve of some of my writing, but I want it to be about the different communities, the different aspects. I want to share that with people back in the UK. And when I first started writing my blog, it was kind of like a diary of my thoughts and views on things. And then it became to kind of showcase that and share it with my friends and family. And now I'm also bringing in for my American readers, for them to kind of see their culture
through your eyes,
through my eyes, and I get some brilliant comments back. And that for me is one of the bonuses when you write about something and people have read it.
And then people comment.
On it. Yeah. So, with this blog party.
It's on the February 26th.
February 26th.
It's open to everybody.
Open to everyone. Welcome to come along. It's on Eventbrite, which it's Eventbrite/Desperate Housewife USA. Or you can tweet to me on UK Housewife USA and send me a message, or I'll follow you and then I'll send you the details. It's at Union Jacks, of course.
Right here in downtown Columbia.
Downtown Columbia for a bit of fish and chips and a nice cup of tea.
Or a pint.
A pint, if you so wish. Yeah, it's that time of day, actually, isn't it, for a pint?
It's getting there, yeah. It's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Right, as we say, yes. Absolutely. Yes. So beer o'clock.
Beer o'clock. Yes.
Beer o'clock. So good time to be had, and a bit of a British theme, and just to get expand my blogging experience, really, because I'm breaking kind of all virgin experiences here with my Super Bowl, my blog party,
and now podcast.
Podcast, of course. So it's
well,
great.
This is great, and if you're okay with it, we'd love to have you back.
Yes.
Maybe 12 months from now, and let's hear more of your adventures.
Get some updates.
Yeah, who I've met.
You'd come back. You'd join us again.
Oh, absolutely.
You had fun today.
Yes, I've had great fun.
Well, we appreciate you coming by. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck getting through the rest of the winter.
Yes. Roll on spring.
Well, that about wraps up another episode, and then there's that. Together with my co-host, Paul Scowney, we'd like to thank our producer, Dave Bittner, who makes us look good on the Internet. We'd also like to thank General Growth Properties and the Mall in Columbia for hosting our show again today. We'll be back again on March 1st with Michael McCall, president of Strategic Leisure and the planner behind the Inner Arbor Project for Symphony Woods, along with our usual course of hyperlocal news and commentary. We hope you join us.